Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. RiftAccounting.com.
If you need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures. Independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off my stack.
Jobsinkent.com.
Supplymybusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, March the 1st.
And you're listening to me, Jules Serkin, on the Business Bunker. And with us on the phone from Scotland, we have the lovely Fiona Kirk. She is a best-selling author. She's written for the Daily Mail. She's been on telly. She's been everywhere. And she is a fat buster guru. You can follow her on Fat Bus Forever and keep up with her on Fiona Kirk, KIRK.com. So hailing from Bonnie Scotland, Fiona, hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. And I'm happy to tell you it's not raining.
Are you based in Glasgow?
I am indeed, yes.
And it's not raining?
It's not raining, yeah.
I've heard the time to visit is June.
Oh, we'd have to discuss.
Over apparently a crisp dry wine is your tipple.
Why not? Are you a fan?
I'm a very big fan, but we'll talk about that off air.
She has just the 4 bottles for breakfast, Fiona.
Now, the perfect diet.
Exactly.
Of course. Yeah. Now, as long as it's dry.
She loses whole weeks on that diet.
Now, Fiona is an author and a nutritional therapist, and she qualified in 2001. She did 4 years of study, and that's hard study, at the Institute of Optimum Nutrition with the famous Patrick Holfood, who I have followed, Fiona. I always think his name should be Patrick Holfood.
You'd probably quite like that.
But you've been devising fat loss diets for newspapers and magazines, and you've been on the telly and everything. I watched your interview in Australia, which I thought was very interesting, for around 14 years. And, of course, trialling these diets yourself before you let it loose. So what was your eureka moment? Why did you start doing this? Because you don't strike me, looking at your picture, as a tubby person.
No, it wasn't about that, to be honest. I would say a very large percentage of people in my field, it's often personal health issues that sort of lead you down the road of thinking, do you know, there might be something about this whole kind of food as medicine thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very much the case with me. And the more I started to read, the more I began to think, oh my goodness, how did I possibly get to this grand old age without knowing a lot of this, you know? So that really kind of like encouraged me to find out more. And so, you know, scarily, I decided in my later years, inverted commas, to go and learn some more. So that's what I did.
So what you're saying is we are what we eat, Fiona, and looking at you and how amazing you look, you've probably got another 150 years anyway, so you're in the prime.
You're too kind. I'm actually soling a really bad cold at the moment, so if my voice is a little deeper than normal, that's why. Of course, nutritional therapists are not supposed to get colds, but it happens.
What advice would you give to a listener who is suffering from the winter colds at the moment? A little bit of turmeric or something else up your sleeve?
Oh, I just say, you know, go to bed.
do you know what, Fiona? I've just got over the worst case of man flu.
Oh, and didn't we hear?
Of course, it was man flu.
Ever experienced in the universe. There was not, even bubonic plague was nothing to the man flu I had. It was awful.
I think, of course it was. Of course it was.
I think but Fiona would have advocated soup.
The other thing I, of course, always encourage is soup.
Yeah.
Chicken soup. It's not just for the soul, you know. It really does have some very interesting sort of science behind it, which I will not bore you with at the moment. But always ensure you maybe have some chicken broth in the freezer. So the minute that you go down with these things, all you have to do is reach for the freezer, defrost it, and sup.
Now, how long, Fiona, do you reckon you could keep that in the freezer without it losing its nutritional content?
Oh, a good 2 to 3 months.
Two to three years.
If you make sure that you freeze it carefully, make sure it's cool and then and put it into the freezer and then, you know, it'll... But do you know what? Even when you feel really, really miserable, any kind of... Even a packet chicken soup will do. It just makes you feel warm and comfortable.
Well, look, sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. I wanted to... I'm a big soup fan, Fiona.
Good.
Yeah, a huge soup fan. And
Do you make your own?
I make my own soup.
Good.
And as we were discussing earlier before you were on air, I have been in one of my down yo-yos. I'm one of those horrible yo-yo dieters. I put on huge amounts of weight because I eat too much junk food and then I lose it all and da-da-da-da-da by trying to eat healthily. But I want to talk to you about your chicken broth. I mean, what do you put in a chicken broth and what do you not put in it kind of thing?
Well, now, the first question is, do you have my soup cookbook?
No, I don't. But I will be acquiring it shortly.
Well,
and he can also pop on your website, can't he, to get the recipe?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. But, you know, it's very much... What's really important, actually, is what comes from the bones.
Right.
It's the... I mean, not only is the chicken flesh and skin, etc., useful, but it's what comes from the bones, you know, and the longer you... I mean, you'll come across all sorts of stuff on the internet where they, you know, they boil the bones.
Bone
for
broth.
Days,
yeah.
You know?
Huge.
And yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. But hey, you know, let's get real here. You know, we're all in a bit of a rush and our lives are pretty busy. So yeah, I'm a great fan of putting a whole chicken into a pot, covering it with water, some peppercorns, maybe some carrots and celery, and bring it to the boil, and then letting it just simmer very, very, very slowly. If you've got an agar, which I don't, but if you've got an agar, that's the absolutely perfect. You put it in the bottom oven, apparently, all night. But, you know, you can just simmer it away for hours and then take the chicken out, and then you can take the flesh off the chicken, which you can then enjoy with salads or whatever, sandwiches or whatever, and, you know, leave the bones in there for another hour or so, however long you've got, really. And you really will get the most extraordinarily good chicken broth.
How important is it, Fiona, do you think, to have a chicken that you know has been well fed and well cared for and not fed lots of growth hormones and being cooped up?
Very. It is. You know, it's. I'm not one of these kind of nutritionists who always sort of says, you know, I mean, I say, look, go for the best you can possibly afford when you can afford it, sort of thing. But,
yeah.
You know, I'd far rather somebody used a battery chicken that hopefully had a reasonably nice life, rather than you going out and buying something that's over processed and what you and I might call fast or convenience, and you haven't a clue what's gone in there, you know.
So let's crack over to, and because we've got lots of business listeners on the Business Bunker, let's have some top tips from you, Fiona, on someone that say they're working 12 hours a day, something like that, sitting at their desk, and then they get that awful PM slump. Maybe they've had a good breakfast, but then they start slumping and they go for the biscuits and the coffee just to keep going. Top tips from you about how office workers can perhaps keep going a little bit longer and feel better.
Well, I'm a great blaster of the breakfast is the most important meal of the day thing.
Mm.
For some, it is the most important meal of the day, but not for everyone. If you're not hungry first thing in the morning, then so what? Mm. You know, it has an awful lot to do with what you ate yesterday,
yeah.
You know, particularly in the hours before you hit sack. But I always say to people, like, you know, don't force it down first thing in the morning if you're not hungry, but don't wait until you start feeling a bit wobbly and your concentration's starting to waver, because that is a sure sign that your blood sugar has just kind of gone down a bit. And it can be a little bit hard to resist what we might call an immediate boost,
yeah.
Which sadly is often sugar. So I'm, you know, you have to keep filling and fabulous snacks in your desk drawer, in your handbag, in your briefcase, your glove compartment if you're on the road. You know, mini oat cakes, fruit, cheese portions, raw baby vegetables, a wee pot of hummus, boiled egg.
You've looked in Jules's handbag then.
Yeah, that is my handbag.
But you just described the contents of her handbag.
I mean, people say to me, is your handbag not a right mess? And I go, well, sometimes,
no.
Yeah.
I have little glass jars, little jam jars, little Tupperwares everywhere.
Oh, good girl.
Yeah.
Good girl.
Yeah.
But you know, the most
I'm still fat, though.
The most important thing that I always say to people, particularly when they're having a really kind of busy day and, you know, it's like nose to tail the whole way, is you actually don't need very much. You know, you don't need to stuff yourself. A relatively small snack can actually get your blood sugar back, level back into the sort of safety zone more quickly than you might imagine. You know, a couple of mini oat cakes with some nut butter, or, you know, a few bits of vegetable, nice crunchy vegetables with a wee pot of hummus, or indeed a boiled egg. You know, it very quickly does the job. You know, we always seem to think that because we leave it too late, we then get that kind of craving, we start to get a bit brain numb, we start to get a bit irritable with people. You're in the middle of a meeting and you just want to tell the boss to go somewhere. You know, we can't afford to allow ourselves to go to that place. But it's funny, actually, because everybody has sort of different times. I mean, the most common times for the blood sugar dips are mid-morning for some, mid-afternoon for others. Mid-afternoon is probably the most famous.
So it's not for any coincidence that we have 11s and we have afternoon tea, perhaps.
Well, I think there's an element of habit in there as well.
We need to make healthy 11s.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. But it depends on your working day. I mean, you know, the reason I wrote the Diet Secrets Uncovered series of 10 books.
Mm.
Can you believe I nearly lost the will to live around
10 books is incredible.
Yeah, I nearly lost the will to live around about book 7. but I cracked on.
What did you crave?
The reason I wrote it was because, you know, it's incredible how we actually don't really remember that, you know, we have to actually alter our diet according to the time of our life, the age we are. You know, The diet that works for a single woman in her 20s is unlikely to reap the same rewards when she's going through menopause, or, you know, the junior doctor who's working shifts, you know, all sorts of antisocial hours, is not going to be working with the same diet as, let's say, a woman who wants to rediscover waistline after pregnancy. You know, we've kind of got to, you know, we can discover all manner of strategies that can help to improve our digestion, crank up our energy levels, you know, encourage better and more regenerative sleep, and, you know, if we're looking to lose weight, keep the metabolic and fat-burning fire well stoked, sorry, that's the word I meant.
So how would you stoke your metabolism? With exercise and then eating little and often?
Well, you know, I mean, the reason I wrote 10 books is because it's different strokes for different folks.
Right.
Of course, exercise is really important. Of course, you know, we've become a little bit too sedentary, some of us, others not so much. Exercise is incredibly important for our hearts, for our brains, for our nervous system, you know, just for our energy levels. But when it comes to diet, you know, the jury is going to continue to be out as to whether three good meals a day with no snacks or small and often is going to be the best route for weight loss. I argue both sides because I say it's very much about who you are, what you do, what age you are, what your health status is. You know, the sad reality is we're all biochemically individual.
Mm.
You know, there's no one, if there was one diet that was going to work for us all, there would only be the one on the shelf. But you'll have noticed there's lots.
Well, I notice now that we're sort of coming towards the good fat is good for you, as well as the bone broths, and that has become very popular. So where years ago we were saying avoid fat and feeling quite miserable because we were avoiding all fat, now we're advocating perhaps good fats. What would you say about that?
Well, I've been beating the eat more fat drum for more years than I care to count.
I wish I'd known you before.
I mean, not the chemically skewed fats,
yeah,
you know, that are added to so many products to give them a longer shelf life. I mean, people always forget that fat, you know, if you leave a pack of butter out for a day or so,
mm,
it goes rancid. Well, why is that? Because those are natural fats.
Mm.
And fats, in order for things, all sorts of food products, to actually remain on the shelf or remain in the sandwich shop or whatever it might be for a reasonable length of time, they have to be in some way processed so that they're not going to go rancid. So, you know, what I have always encouraged is, you know, naturally occurring fats, fats from fish, fats from pasture-fed animals and their dairy produce. Mm. Another area which gets my goat, you know, oh,
gets
my goat.
Don't
eat cheese, don't eat butter, you know, cut down in the milk, they're all fattening, you know, I mean,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and of course, I'm a huge fan of oils from the cold processing of
yep,
olives, nuts, seeds, etc.
Yeah.
Why? Because we need good fats for brain, for nerve, and for hormone health, and yes, for weight loss, and B, because they're filling, they're delicious, and they do an extraordinarily good job of discouraging us from overeating.
Fiona,
I mean, have you ever seen anybody who can actually eat a whole plate piled high with pork chops?
Well, possibly Paul Andrews,
who's
sitting
Paul
opposite.
Andrews, right,
but he
right,
is a one-off, Fiona. He is a one-off.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? You know,
so you're saying
fat is filling.
Yeah, exactly.
Fat is good for us, but we just have to be careful about which fats we eat.
It's
but,
satisfying.
Of course, we've been in this horrible situation for the last, what, 30-odd years, where we've been told fats are fattening, fats are fattening. Everything became low fat, no fat. Now, if you take a product and you take the fat out of it,
yeah,
it becomes incredibly bland, dull, and uninteresting. So what have food manufacturers, not all, let me point out, not all.
They shove sugar in.
What have a lot of food manufacturers done over the years? They've had to put other things in to make it tasty.
Fillers and sugar, yeah.
Sugar, exactly.
Hideous.
So we're now, at last, beginning to understand that actually sugar might have quite a lot to do with it. But I'm not a sugar basher, I have to say. I'm not a sugar basher. We have a naturally sweet tooth. You know, we were, our ancestors had that ability. The only way that they knew whether something was poisonous or not was whether, you know, it had a slightly sweet taste.
Mm.
And if it had a slightly sweet taste, there was a fair chance it wasn't poisonous. I'm always a little bit nervous about the fact that I have a horrible suspicion that it was always the woman who was sent out to taste it.
I did. Julie in the studio has got a little question for you, Julie.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello. I just wondered, have you got like a tip for, because when I make soup, it never keeps me full for very long, even when I buy tins of soup. So what should I be, because if I make carrot and coriander, say, well, I can make it thicker, but do you think, add potatoes to it? Because it never fills me for very long. So I'm trying to eat homemade soup, but I'm still starving.
Fiona is the queen of soup. She'll tell you.
That's what I thought. Tell me the tip.
Well, no, I'll tell you where possibly the big issue is here. It's not sounding like there's a lot of protein in that carrot and coriander soup.
Ah.
You've got, you know, in order to fill you up, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to getting maximum goodness into a very small space, a good soup is really hard to beat. And, you know, the variety available to us is mind-blowing. You know, if we're actually a little bit adventurous, we could likely have a different soup every day for a year and rarely have the same one twice.
So, Fiona, if you're advising Julie to add protein, would you be adding pulses?
Well, I would say a good soup always involves vegetables. Generally speaking, protein in some form, be it meat or seafood or beans and lentils. Some but not too much starch in the form of perhaps potatoes, noodles, rice, other grains. Mm. Herbs and spices, which are rightfully regarded as real superfoods. And you know, go mad with your toppings, you know. Top your soups with nuts.
Not croutons.
I've never thought of that.
Can we yogurt, you know, hummus, stir a bit of hummus into your soup, little crispy bacon bits, caramelized vegetables. And, you know, some of your listeners may not know this, but countless studies reveal that the combination of liquid and solids in a nourishing bowl of soup prompt an action within the stomach that blunts our appetite more quickly than if we eat exactly the same liquid and exactly the same solids separately, which is fascinating.
I didn't know that.
This then means that we eat less in the hours thereafter, as long as your soup, Julie, is a good combination of proteins, vegetables, a little fat, and a little starch. It doesn't always have to have the starch. The protein is really, really important.
I'm going to make that tonight, and I shall tweet you tomorrow.
Yeah, see if you're full, Julie, first.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, am I full?
And we want a picture.
Excellent, excellent.
Okay, thank you.
So, Fiona, just before we have to wrap up, just give us, because mostly, as I said, office workers, so what about the old birthday parties when the cake comes around? If you're in a large office with 16 people, there's always someone's birthday. Mm. So it's always, you know, treats and whatever. So what would you do? Would you just have a small slice? Would you say, I'm on a diet? What would you do?
Well, I always say to people, try and ignore what I call the diet saboteurs. You know the ones. You know, your diet's going reasonably well and you're feeling pretty good, but theirs is not.
Yeah.
So phrases like, you're looking too thin, or God, surely one slice of pizza won't do any harm, or are you sure you're eating enough, can throw you. You know, you've absolutely got to stick to your guns. And honestly, you can lie. You can say, do you know, honestly, the last time I had a Krispy Kreme donut, I felt so unwell for the rest of the day. So, you know, forgive me, you know, it's really sweet of you, but, you know, I'm just going to have to say no just now. Or I've got an important meeting to go to. Or I'm just going around the block to pick up something, you know, to take home for the dinner. You know, find an excuse, because the diet saboteurs will always be on your back. They're always going to say to you, oh, come on.
Well, there's always an occasion. That's the thing, isn't there?
Well, yeah. I mean, but a little bit of indulgence isn't going to do much damage, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're just talking. I mean, it's not somebody's birthday every day, is it?
I was talking to my painter and decorator this morning. He's just been diagnosed with diabetes and he was quite down about it. And, you know, I was talking to him. I said, you know, perhaps your wife can get you onto porridge. And, you know, he's also got high cholesterol. And I was telling him about chia seeds and things like that. And, you know, and healthy breakfast. And he says that she just feeds him so much.
You're quite
so
a fount of knowledge.
I know a lot about food. But
she eats it all, that's why.
I do really like... I do really like healthy food, but I could see the barriers come up, Fiona. Yeah. And he said, oh, my wife cooks and she piles my plate up. And, you know, and I thought she's really not helping him, because my husband now is over 44. He's a nice Jewish boy. He likes a nice Jewish soup, but a nice chicken soup. But I have cut his meat down considerably because he was eating it every day. And it's, you know, you just don't, we're not cavemen. We don't need it every day, I don't think. And he's absolutely horrified that I've cut his meat down a little bit, you know. But he still has a pork chop, or he has. Kate. But we're having more pulses,
well,
more lentils, more fish.
I can't possibly comment on your marriage.
Fiona, don't go there. When she says she cut his meat down, she meant she ate his chops before he got home.
No, but you know, when you're talking about menopause, I actually naturally feel I don't want to eat so much meat. So I bought him yesterday a pork chop, and I had lentils and stuff. And in the end, he was having my lentils. So and he loved them. So
oh, result.
Yeah. Now, people can find you on Fiona Kirk,
KIRK.com,
and they can find your books there?
Yes. You know, could I just point out that,
yes,
you know, I am very, very happy to, you know, please tell your listeners to contact me. You know, you can see my books, my diets, my recipes, my blogs. But I have a contact page. And so, you know, please do not hesitate to contact me if, you know, there's no one shoe that fits all.
Exactly.
And that's why I have, over the years, devised rather a lot of different types of diet. Because, you know, what suits you might not suit me, and vice versa, you know.
You're a fountain of knowledge. We will definitely we will get into the soups. And I'm going to phone you after the show and see if I can have a little consultation with you. I'm sure you still do them. You don't. Well, I'm...
Do you think I've got time when I'm writing 10 books to consult as well?
So remind us of your latest book, the name of it.
The series of Diet Secrets Uncovered.
Right.
There's one for menopausal women.
That would be mine.
There's one for office workers. There's one for shift workers. There's one for teenagers, which has been very popular, I have to say, because, you know, that's an area that I really do get very stressed about, that, you know, children are maybe, or should I say teens, are not perhaps eating as well as they should, in many ways because of sort of limited knowledge. So, you know, I've been very pleased at how that's been
brilliant,
successful. But probably the one that's been the most there's two that have been the most successful. One is the menopausal woman, and the other one is the stressed executive.
Oh, there we are. There's one each for me and Paul.
Yep.
But
those are the ones.
Thanks for so much. So
all the information's there, and
the website.
And I hope we'll speak really soon. It's been
good
to speak to you both.
We'll speak to you very soon, Fiona. Thank you very much for coming.
All right. Thank you both.
Thanks, Fiona. So cheers, Sal.
Bye.
Speak to you again soon. Cheers.
And that was Fiona Kirk of Fat Bus Forever. If you're following her on the Twitter, you can find her on Facebook and also FionaKirk.com.
Fantastic. Thank you. We've got dozens and dozens of tweets. We've got loads of emails. We've got news to catch up on. So I'm going to dive straight into this. We've had a tweet from Digital Together. Their Twitter handle is Digi_Together. And they say, Vanillaware Business Bunker, please can you give Digi Together a shout out? We're hosting a gamification workshop.
Ooh, what's that?
Computer games.
Sounds good.
A gamification workshop on the 20th of April. And tickets are running out fast. If you'd like to go to that, do follow Digi_Together on the Twitter, and you can find out more about the gamification workshop on the 20th of April. We've had a tweet from We Do Social Media, and they say, our director, Elle Cloak, has been nominated for Young Entrepreneur of the Year at the Kent Women in Business Awards, and we're really excited. And that's fantastic. Well done, Elle. That's brilliant, brilliant achievement. I happen to be a judge of those awards, and I'm also doing some of the presentations at the Black Tie Award Dinner on the 11th of March. And I happen to know there's loads of our listeners out there that have got nominations. So if you want to tweet in and tell us that you've been nominated, we'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, because Rebecca Nutt and I did that a couple of years ago. It was great, do.
Yeah.
Love it. And Sally for Cakes, she's been on. If you're having trouble winning tenders or bids, come along to West Kent B2B on March the 10th at the Hop Farm to hear Rob Fenn from the British Assessment Bureau and Anne Grady from Chameleon Marketing explain how to win the bid. And you can follow them in the conversation at the BAB Official.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Elsie Mo's Diner in Canterbury.
What are they
in the Burgate there. They say, here at Elsie Mo's, every day is a weekend with our daily happy hour, 5 till 6.
That's my kind of place.
Well, of course it is.
Did they send a picture of a cocktail?
Yeah, they did. And not only that, they sent a picture of a certain person eating a dirty great rack of ribs as well.
That might be me.
It might have been you,
I'm wearing them today.
I just sat there and listened to you waffle to the lovely Fiona, and then I'm looking at pictures of what you're actually eating.
I know.
And you'll tell us all about this healthy stuff.
Chia
and then,
seed. Well, she thinks I eat chia seeds.
Yeah, yeah.
I do, actually, but I'd sprinkle them on the ribs. That's probably
my downfall.
Yeah,
of course you do. Yeah. We had a tweet from VR Sarni. VR Sarni Co. Ltd. on the Twitter. Contract free washroom services servicing Kent and Sussex. So that's VR Sarni. Contract free washroom services. That's paper towels and all the other things that you put in a washroom, I guess.
There is an award winning cricketer called Darren Stevens, and he's supporting Eleanor. You did this. Have you done this already?
No, it's a different one.
Okay. So Eleanor is a charity which supports families facing terminal illness that Paul alluded to earlier and mentioned. So he is...
formerly known as Chips.
Oh, is it?
Eleanor renamed themselves. They were called Chips
before. Chips with a Y.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're on a diet, so they changed that name.
Yeah, they've been... Chips are bad for them. Yeah.
The cricketer who was Kent's Player of the Year in 2005, 2010 and 2013, he must be some cricketer, he officially launched his exciting fundraising year at a star-studded gala lunch on the 25th of February in Maidstone. And Darren has set himself a target of raising £100,000 during his benefit year, and then he's set the ball rolling at the lunch with a raffle and an auction. He also has plans for a Question of Sport event at Worcester County Cricket Club, a golf day and a race night. And he says, as a dad, I'm so grateful that my little boy is happy and healthy, but I realise that we are lucky. During my benefit year, I'm supporting Eleanor. And Eleanor is spelled E-L-L-E-N-O-R, if you're looking for it. It's a local Kent charity which cares for very ill babies, children, young people and their families. So that's why he's giving his full support.
Fantastic.
So find out more about that, and we will put details up on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Zingiberry Bakery.
Oh, I love their...
Zingiberry Bakery.
Very, very
they say,
good.
Can you give us a shout-out on the Business Bunker Show and wish us luck for Thursday? They're up for the Taste of Kent Awards 2016. Thank you. That's an absolute pleasure. That's the lovely folks at Zingiberry Bakery, and you can follow them at Zingiberry Bakery, which isn't easy to say, on Les Twitter.
Well, of course, I will be there partaking with all the Kent farmers.
Of course you
markets.
Will. There's food.
I'm on the...
of course you'll be there, Jules. There's food.
But I'm on with Stevie Wood and lovely Matthew Kearsey Lawson. I'm on the naughty table, apparently.
Yeah, well, obviously you would be. We've had a tweet from FSB Andrew Knott, who says, hi, Jules and Paul. Can you shout out, please, if you would like to learn more about FSB membership and the support packages we offer, you can call me, Andrew Knott, on 07747114627, or you can just follow Andrew on the Twitter, A-Knott20, A-K-N-O-T-T-20, Andrew Knott20 on the Twitter.
And I took Andrew, the lovely Andrew, along for a business lunch, which started at 1 p.m.
Here we go.
It was last Friday. It was at the Crescent Victoria. I took my little posse of about nine of us. And so thanks to the Crescent Victoria at Margate. They're opposite the Winter Gardens. Go and see Chef Aaron Coston. He's the head chef. He's amazing. And if any of you have dietary requirements, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free, he will do it. He's amazing.
Fantastic.
We had a very good lunch. Ended about 9 o'clock at night, as I remember.
Cool. Had a tweet from Chris Pollard that says, at last, someone talking sense about diets. A great interview with Fat Bus Forever, Fiona.
Yeah.
Good
it
stuff.
It was. I know. Yeah. I'm going to ring her.
Mm. Absolutely.
I'm sure she will give me a private consultation, even though she just writes books now. I'm sure she will.
Cool. We've had another tweet from the lady that I started the show off with, Louis Batchelor, about her 100 sports in 100 days challenge.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, would any of your business listeners be interested in sponsoring us? So do check that out. We've had a response from some of the nominees of the Kent Women in Business. So I'm just going to run. I'm not going to read out their whole tweets. I'm just going to read out two or three of the people that have been nominated for Kent Women in Business Awards. There's Amy McManus, the lovely Amy at AM Marketing. There's Linda Garcia at Alexi Consulting. There's Natalie Benaig at Kent Creative Live. There was Elle Cloak from We Do Social Media, I mentioned earlier. The lovely Lisa Settle from Telcare Limited. Ali Hollands, all people that have been nominated, and I'm sure there's some more. So do keep those coming. We've also had a tweet from EcoSan, and they say, we'd love a shout-out, Vanilla Webb. We are a family-run business offering eco-friendly washroom services, and we love the Business Bunker Show.
We do.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm tweeting Chris Pollard. He wrote to me, and I was wondering why I hadn't been included in that tweet about Fat Buzzphone, but he put at Jules. So perhaps I should read. That's a really great Twitter. I wonder if I can still get at Jules. That would be much handier.
That's where I tweet.
Than just at Jules Sirkin.
Oh.
Cool.
Kent and Victor Chamber, they've got an after-hours networking event. It's 6 to 7. Sorry, 6 to 7.30. They say no need to book. You can just turn up. And the next one is tonight at Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre in Dartford. And there's also another one at the Conningbrook Hotel, Ashford. You can also do Tuesday the 8th of March at the Hive Imperial, which is a lovely venue, and Wednesday the 16th of March at the Metro Bank PLC in Tunbridge Wells. You can book them on kentandvictorchamber.co.uk/events.
Cool. Thank you for that. Adrian, AK Pet Services, has been tweeting away sending us lots of lovely picture of dogs for pods.
Yeah, I know, he's lovely. Well, did you know that the new marketing, the microchipping law is coming in, and he's going to...
He's going to be coming on and telling us about that soon.
Yeah, he has sent me an email about it, but you will get a £500 fine if your dog's not microchipped. Mm. So, interesting. Just tweet him at AK Pet Services to find out more.
Absolutely.
There's a half-day course, which is direct marketing for business owners and beginners. There are flexible dates, they say, in March, April and May. And you need to speak to Daniel Lynham, who's been on The Bunker Show. And you can go to threelinksmedia.com/events if you're interested. And you can also phone them 01322 305 533. And that'll give you the basics for LinkedIn and Twitter.
Cool. Dartford-based heating and plumbing specialist GSCI Limited.
You say heating and plumbing.
Has joined forces with leading UK home assistance provider Home Service to launch a new Home Service North Kent franchise. GCSI, which employs 9 staff and provides commercial heating and plumbing services across North Kent, will now offer boiler installations and gas-related heating services to residential customers across the region through the HomeServe North Kent brand. You can find out more about it by going to their website, which is www.homeservenorthkent.co.uk.
You can find all the BTB exhibitions this year by going to Kent B2B, the website, and they'll all be on there. But there is the Hop Farm Paddock Wood on the 10th of March. That's the West Kent one. And there's also the Ashford International on the 26th of April.
Fantastic.
So, again, I think Paul Andrews will have put that on Kent Business Radio.
It is indeed.
UK. He's very... punctual about that.
Absolutely. Very quickly, there's a Seven Oaks Business Show taking place on Friday the 22nd of April from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And that is taking place at the Plaza Suite Stag. That's the Stag Theatre, London Road, Seven Oaks, as I say, on Friday the 22nd of April. So do check that out. You can follow Seven Oaks Town Council, Seven Oaks TP, on the Twitter to find out more about it. There's a Digital Technologies for Export workshop on the 7th of March at the Hilton Hotel Maidstone. Is technology working for your company? Are you maximising the use of the devices at your fingertip? You can find out more. It's a free event. You just email to register your place, international.affair@kent.gov.uk. That's a Digital Technologies for Export workshop.
There's a gala dance in the grounds of Canterbury Cathedral at the Cathedral Lodge. It's 3 courses of fabulous food, dancing with live music, a charity raffle, all proceeds donated to the Alzheimer's Society. So that's one that sounds a bit far for you to come, Nurse Liz. I know you're listening in Maryland, But sounds really good. So I don't know who you would just contact the Cathedral Lodge, I would guess, there. That's Canterbury Cathedral Lodge, great venue, or contact us and we'll put you through to them.
Fantastic. It's that time again.
Oh, yes, it comes around quickly.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you news from the Federation of Small Business. There's a new data protection self-assessment tool. The ICO has launched a self-assessment tool to help small business owners assess their compliance with the Data Protection Act. The assessment covers the key obligations that small firms have when processing their customers' personal information, as well as providing links to relevant guidance. The new toolkit can be completed as one comprehensive assessment, or it can be accessed as separate checklists, so users can adapt it to their individual business needs. You can find out more about the checklist by going to the website, which is https://ico.org.uk.
Councils will gain control over Sunday trading. This is a very interesting thing that's happening. Local authorities in England and Wales will have the power to create zones with extended opening hours on Sundays. And the Business Secretary, Sajid Javid, has announced during the second reading of the Enterprise Bill that this is a possibility. The devolution of Sunday trading rules is expected to give a boost to local high street traders competing with online retailers. Shop workers in larger stores will have the right to opt out of working on Sundays on religious grounds or for family reasons. The notice period they are required to give to their employers will be reduced from 3 months to 1 month, and shop owners will have a duty to inform their workers of these rights. Very interesting one, that.
Fantastic. The new National Insurance Guide has been published. HM Revenue and Customs has published a new guide for employers to assist with the new National Insurance Contributions relief for apprentices who are under the age of 25. The changes, which come into force from the 6th of April 2016, will result in employers not having to pay Class 1 National Insurance Contributions on earnings of apprentices below £827 a week. Blimey.
Very good.
This is provided that the apprentice is under 25 and is following an approved apprenticeship program. In order to apply for the National Insurance Relief, employers need to provide evidence to HMRC, such as a written agreement between the employer, the apprentice and the training provider, confirming the apprentice is on an approved scheme and the start and end date of the apprenticeship is noted. That could be useful.
Very useful, Ryan. Get in on there.
Well, it won't help him.
Well, it could help others.
It could help Julie. No, it won't. It doesn't help the apprentice. It helps the employer.
But it all goes around, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's because I wasn't really listening. I was reading.
I know you weren't.
Right, I can't tweet and listen to you, unfortunately. I always know when you're not listening to me because you just say cool. FSB, the ratepayers have invited to be notified of draft rateable values, Paul Andrews. Mm-hmm. Business ratepayers in England and Wales can register their email addresses in order to be notified when draft rateable values are published in September of this year. The Valuation Office Agency expects to publish the updated rateable values on the 30th of September as part of the 2017 revaluation and will be making them available online only. So you need to go to www.gov.uk, government news. Do you pay business rates? Register your email with us now is the link. Do you like the way I did that?
Absolutely. Access to finance for small firms improves. Venture capital and private equity investment in small and medium-sized enterprises grew by 43% in a year to October 2015, according to a recent report published by the British Business Bank. The alternative finance sector, which are lenders such as peer-to-peer platforms and challenger banks, and crowdfunding, saw lending rise sharply by 75% to £1.6 billion. The report also indicated that the four largest banks accounted for 80% of the small business loan market in 2014, with 56% of smaller firms aiming to increase their turnover during 2016. There is demand for more scale-up funding. According to the report, UK startups are less likely than those in many other countries to grow more than 10 employees, and this poor scale-up performance is a significant factor in the UK's productivity slump. It wouldn't have anything to do with all the rules and regulations on employing people, then, would it?
No.
No.
That's another show.
No, it wouldn't. Of course, it wouldn't.
There are new laws proposed to encourage cross-border online shopping. The European Commission has published draft legalisation as part of its digital single marketing strategy, and if implemented, the legalisation would harmonise consumer law in relation to online shopping throughout the European Union, the EU, which the Commission hopes would result in more consumers purchasing goods online from traders in other member states. 50% of consumers in the EU shopped online in 2014. Only 18% purchased goods from a retailer in another EU country. And just 12% of EU retailers sold goods online to consumers located in other member states. I want something from Australia. And can I get it? No.
What do you want from Australia?
I want some cleaning stuff. It's really nice. It's amazing, Julie. I know, I hear you titter.
Yeah.
But it's
she wants a kangaroo. No, she wants kangaroo sport.
It's eucalyptus oil, but not what you use for massage. It's a strong extra strength. It's
punch a koala.
I pop it down loo's, I put it in the washing. Punch a koala.
Yeah. Let's say get eucalyptus oil.
But you get the nicest scent. It's just amazing. I'll bring some in. Well, I haven't got any. My cousin bought me a bottle.
And I'll bring some in, but I haven't got any.
I've tweeted. I've begged. It's flammable. I think that's the problem. Can you import flammable goods?
Well, you can, but you need special import.
Well, you can't just pop it in your luggage.
No, absolutely. Anyway, back to
the... If anyone goes to America, just bring her a bottle.
Yeah. Australia, darling.
Australia.
Oh.
Eucalyptus. Begins with an A.
Eucalyptus.
Yeah, the clue was in
my
the...
My little possum.
The clue was when he said koala.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get many koalas in the USA. No, Nurse Liz will tell you. Yeah. Listen, government have confirmed proposals to tackle worker exploitation, she said, trying to work. The government has now issued its response to its consultation, which took place towards the end of last year, on tackling exploitation in the labour market, and it's announced that it will enact a series of proposals to crack down on worker exploitation. Are you listening, Ryan? This could happen to you. Reform the gangmasters. Do you have gangmasters at RAP? Licensing authority to become the gangmasters and labour abuse authority with stronger police-style enforcement powers. Introduce a new type of enforcement order supported by a criminal offence for non-compliance, and the labour market enforcement bodies will have the power to require a business, where that is reasonable belief that a labour market offence has been committed, to enter into an undertaking to take steps to prevent further offending. This is sounding very legal, Paul Andrews. The enforcement bodies will be able to apply to a court for an enforcement order where a business has refused to give or failed to comply with an undertaking. Breach of the order could be a criminal offence with a maximum custodial penalty of 2 years. Retain the existing gateways between HM Revenue and Customs National Minimum Wage Team, the Employment Agency Standards Inspectorate and the Gangmasters Licensing Authority to enable enforcers to continue to share information relating to specific cases. We need to do a show on this, Paul. This is a whole new thing. It will create gateways between the new Director of Labour Market Enforcement, the three Labour Market Enforcement bodies, other bodies and the Intelligence Hub. The Hub will coordinate data which will be used to develop the annual strategy plan for Labour Market Enforcements.
Fantastic. Thank you. Dragon's Den. BBC Dragon's Den, still looking for applicants.
Yeah,
we're looking for applicants from those that have a current business and may be interested in applying to pitch for potential investment from the Dragons on Dragon's Den. It's a challenging place to pitch, but it's also a genuine business opportunity to secure investment. In Series 13, there were 24 entrepreneurs who accepted offers of investment in a den worth a combined £1.562 million, with plenty more achieving success after taking on board the Dragon's advice. If you'd like to apply, you can email for an application form by emailing dragonsden@bbc.co.uk.
Ofcom is inviting internet service providers, otherwise known as ISPs, to sign its voluntary business broadband speeds code of practice, which provides business users with a similar level of protection to that enjoyed by consumers. And the code will be effective from 30th of September of 2016, and it requires signatories to provide business users with transparent and accurate pre-contractual information about broadband speed and to provide further info within 7 days of the sale. And where speed problems can't be resolved, business users must be allowed to cancel their contract without incurring a penalty. Hear, hear, I hear you cry.
Cool. Hear, hear. Cool. Hear, hear.
Nurse Liz is getting a bit confused by sofa, settee or couch, as they say. Because settee is a bit of a class thing, isn't it?
You know, I don't know. That's got nothing to do with the FSB
news.
No,
she's just tweeting.
Two-year plan to increase take-up of R&D tax relief. HM Revenue and Customs has announced a two-year plan to increase take-up of research and development R&D tax relief amongst small firms. Measures will focus primarily on increasing awareness and making it easier for firms to apply for this type of tax relief. For example, HMRC will publish improved guidance to help increase firms' understanding of the R&D tax relief and provide business certainty through the Advance Assurance Scheme. You can find out more about this by going to www.gov.uk/government/news/boost for small business.
Or go on KentBusinessRadio.com.
Or you just go on KentBusinessRadio.com and look at news update.
Smaller e-tailers are revealing, I call them e-tailers, they're e-retailers, sorry, reveal growing business confidence. According to the Royal Mail annual tracker study, their smaller e-retailers are growing in business confidence with 8 out of 10 positive that sales will increase in 2016. This outlook stems from a success in 2015 when more than 74% of e-retailers experienced an increase in sales. To maintain this trend this year, 70% of online retailers are planning to expand the number of channels they're selling through, with 85% of these planning to list an additional online marketplaces and 50% intending to launch their own website. Well, can we have eucalyptus oil then, please, from Australia?
Cool.
You got one?
No, that's the end of our news update.
Oh, okay.
Channel Radio News Update.
I've got, just before we finish the show, I've got still got tweets coming in all over the place. Jodie Lawler has tweeted in saying, great to hear from a fellow apprentice from 3AAA UK on the show. Good luck, Ryan. That's from Jodie Lawler. She's a digital apprentice for e-commerce workroom in Canterbury.
Oh.
And she says hello.
And she's lovely.
And she is lovely. We've also had a tweet from a new listener, Evolve Excel, they're called, on the Twitter. And they go, hey, Vanilla Web, we're an exciting new technical startup in Maidstone, helping businesses move their spreadsheets online. Do check us out. So you can follow them on the Twitter at Evolve Excel, in E-X-C-E-L, as in a spreadsheet. So do check them out.
Ah, sounds very interesting.
Yeah, so it's been really busy. We've still got tweets coming in all over the
shop.
Yeah, but we're kind of fast running now towards the end of the show. I just want to tell you what's coming up later on channelradio.co.uk. Following the Business Bunker show at 4 o'clock, we have the delightful Natalie Benaig with Kent Creative Live. 1 hour of talk on the Kent creative industries, on what's happening in all kinds of artistic and creative fields around the county. A show not to be missed. Always fabulous, fabulous, interesting interviews on there. So that's Natalie Benaig with Kent Creative Live at 4 o'clock. And that's followed at 5 o'clock by Craig Avery, the lady's favourite.
With his stripy socks.
With his stripy socks and his Blow Monkey interviews. But Craig will be joining us at 5 o'clock, and Craig is on from 5 until 7. That is followed by...
Welcome on to the New Potatoes Show.
18 tracks of hand-picked, hand-chosen, brand-new... new music,
hot off unsigned the press.
Bands, hot off the press, fabulous music presented by Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potato Show. Do have a listen to it, 7 till 9 o'clock tonight. Then at 9 o'clock we have our comedy 60s programme, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, and that is followed by our headline of tonight.
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two.
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
nights. 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as normal on a Tuesday, we round off the evening with Club Culture Show with the fabulous Boy George. So do stay tuned for the rest of the afternoon and evening to Channel Radio.
I love him on the voice.
He's brilliant.
He's really
he?
Perked that show up.
Yeah, he's really brilliant.